Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
When I remember very vividly as the play was developing, seeing that Chris was open, and as soon as Arch threw it back to him, I just started walking on the court just instinctively because I knew it was going to go in. He never passed up a shot he could get off, let alone an open shot. I knew he was going to shoot it, and I knew it was going in.
And our guest this week is Kyle Neptune, who is taking over as the head men's basketball coach at Villanova University, of course, replacing the retiring Jay Wright. And Kyle, thanks so much for the time.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
As we're talking here, it's been a couple weeks of what had the first couple weeks on the job been like. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind of activity.
Yeah, it's honestly, just took over Fordham last year. And we had to recruit 10 new players and 9 coaches. I had to hire 9 coaches. So, and learn a completely different university, a completely different way of doing things. So compared to that, honestly, the transition has been easier, keeping the entire same staff, keeping most of the players and, already having some familiarity of campus and what to do. So it's actually been an easier transition, believe it or not.
So I'm curious, because this was such a well-kept secret at this level. It is incredibly impressive. Without betraying any confidences or whatever, I'm just curious, how was this first broached to you, and what was your initial reaction in your head when this is all first talked to you?
Yeah, so I have a great relationship with Mark Jackson, our athletic director. I look at him kind of as a mentor. So we stay in contact throughout the year. And he had mentioned this a little bit in confidence. And I just didn't believe him just because I had talked. So many times coaches said this. Coach Wright has said that he was going to retire, sometimes out of a fit of rage. Now he said this numerous times in the past, like legitimately more than 5 times, almost every year that I've been here. So I'm thinking, all right, this is a coach being coach. It's the end of the season. He'll be okay. It's not going to happen. And then I definitely didn't think or know that I would be the guy, right? So I heard about it. And then legitimately, I think things got accelerated when Mark asked me to come interview. And that was like a, no exaggeration, 3 or 4 day turnaround. And then I interviewed and found out I got the job in the same day.
Were you impressed at that how well it was kept secret? I mean, just knowing how the sausage is made with everything, that there wasn't any inclination anywhere that something was happening?
No, I think we're incredibly tight-knit here at Villanova, so definitely not surprised. We're you know, really close, incredibly tight-knit, so definitely not surprised.
So let's talk about your life in basketball, earliest basketball memory growing up.
Watching Michael Jordan play for the Bulls. Definitely my earliest and fondest memories of basketball, for sure.
Were you a kid that, did you focus mostly on basketball? Were you playing whatever was going on in the neighborhood with your friends?
Yeah, I was playing other sports, but basketball is always my primary interest.
When do you start to realize that you're pretty good at it? Like, that you're getting picked first, or you're starting to get more attention than other kids? Was there like a tangible moment, even at like 12 or 13, where you're like, okay, this seems a little different than everybody else's experience?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a pretty unique experience in the because I went to a small private school. So there I was kind of a rock star, right? But then in playing in the neighborhood and playing with the AU team I played with, I kind of was like a role player. So I had both experiences. So I think it kept me pretty humble. So I had a bunch of different types of experiences.
Now, you went to Brooklyn Friends for high school, correct?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And you guys won a state title there, correct?
Yeah, my senior year, we had a great band of guys. They were actually in the same class. I think the starting line was all seniors, maybe one junior. And they had won... and at junior varsity level, they had all won the highest level, a couple years before. And I was playing varsity as a freshman. And so when they came up, I think my junior year, we had a year together. And then we were so tight-knit and had known each other, most of them, since like sixth grade. So we had a really, really tight-knit team and ended up winning the state championship.
What was that experience like?
It was great. I think anytime you win at a high level, doesn't matter the level, it's a special thing because there's a lot of things you have to overcome, and you have to be very close as a team to experience that type of success. So it was definitely a great experience.
When do you start to think about playing college basketball? When I say think about playing, I think every kid that plays has dreams about it. But there's the dreams, and then there's the phone's ringing, I'm getting letters, this could really happen. You know, when does that, do you remember when that started to come together?
Yeah, I think like my junior year, I started getting recruited, even in my sophomore year, just seeing kind of, okay, this is the path, like going to college. Like, you don't know that growing up, right? I think you're singularly focused on playing in the NBA, right? And then I think like maybe eighth, ninth grade, you're like, okay, you go to college, and that happens first. And that's when I think eighth, ninth grade, I was aware of, that was going to be the vehicle. And then by my junior year, I think I started getting some recruitment and decided on Lehigh my senior year, so.
What was it about Lehigh that sold you on going there?
I wanted to go to an academic, a high academic institution. There was a new coach at the time that I built a good relationship with, and I liked the players on the team. So I think that was kind of my hook.
You play at Lehigh, and I believe your freshman year, you guys went to the tournament. You guys won the Patriot, correct?
Yes. Yes. My freshman year, won the conference championship, had a great player, Austin Rowland and Jose Olivero, who were, Jose was actually my roommate and housemate all 4 years of college. And those two guys were incredible players and led us to a conference championship, which was awesome.
And you guys, if I remember correctly, you guys were in the play-in game, the first four in.
Oh, man. I believe personally that whoever wins the conference championship should be in the NCAA tournament. Because I do feel like we felt cheated for sure, but ended up losing in that playing game. But it was still a great experience with those guys. And we built great relationships and fond memories of those times.
I had a question here I wanted to ask about the fact, I know you came off the bench almost exclusively your first couple of years at Lehigh, and you're a guy that scored, you know, more than 1,600 points in high school. Was that tough? But then you mentioned on the playground kind of being a role player. Did that experience make it easier to, I don't want to say accept because you're playing, but to like, okay, this is my role. Everybody wants to start, but this is how I can help the team, and let's go.
I think basketball was very different back then. There definitely wasn't a transfer portal. And I think the, you know, kind of the thought process back then, especially, was that you came in and earned your time. And it wasn't as much where if you don't play as a freshman, it's like the end of the world. I don't think that was a thing back then. Some people played and some didn't. And if you weren't one of those guys, you thought, okay, let me just go ahead and earn this. So that was my thought process. I was a team guy first. And, you know, like, again, I was lucky enough to play on some really good teams.
How would you scout yourself as a player? What did you bring to the table?
I think I was, especially in college, more a defensive guy. I think I tried to play as hard as possible. More of a, like a slashing wing, I would say.
When does the idea of coaching enter the realm? Is it something you always kind of figured would be in the equation, or you're done playing, I still want to be connected to the game, and this is the path I can take?
Yeah, definitely growing up and even through my college life, absolutely zero thoughts about coaching. And I think you just said it, like, you know, after I was playing, graduated, went overseas, went to Lithuania, Latvia, and Puerto Rico all in 1 year. And, you know, I think that was the best thing that happened to me because I played at a pretty high level over there. I now know that I got the good fortune of getting cut all the places I played. And it kind of said, like, all right, well, you're probably going to have to think about doing something else. I think that was the first time I ever thought that, okay, I might not be a player. Like, it never entered my mind. So, that summer I was back in Brooklyn at my parents' house, and I was, you know, kind of just trying to stay around the game as much as I could. And a friend of mine, a former coach of mine at the time, was going to, he was a scout with the New Jersey Nets at the time. And I was kind of tagging along with him, going to different, going to NBA workouts, and those pre-draft workouts. And, you know, I then going to different camps with him as well. And I ended up being like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, I could stay around the game. I think I was trying to actually be, I let him know, and I let some of the other people I knew in the business, that I wanted to be a grad assistant. And I don't know if Coach Wright even knows this. So I was trying to be a grad assistant, and, you know, someone made a call for me at Villanova, and I got a call that they were looking for a video coordinator. And of course I wasn't going to turn that down. So, I was trying to be a grad assistant, ended up being a video coordinator at Villanova, at 24.
Well, do you remember your first conversation with Jay Wright?
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, on the interview, I barely talked to Coach. It was more of the staff. Pat Chambers was was kind of my connection, and he knew a bunch of the people I knew in New York. He was kind of my connection. He's the person who kind of brought me on. I met with Coach for, like, no exaggeration, maybe 30 to 45 minutes. And of course, like, I mean, I was in awe of him at the time, like, just hadn't met him. But, I remember just having lunch with him on campus and him being an incredibly cool guy. And I was like, this would be amazing to be able to work for this guy. So,
video coordinator, often a thankless job in college basketball. Did you take to it right away? Do you enjoy it? Was it a grind? What were your takeaways from that segment of your career?
Well, I mean, I think the takeaway was that I was extremely unqualified for the job. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I think as most former players, you're a warrior, right? You're only thinking about playing basketball every day, and the intricate details of having a real job was definitely a shock to me. And I had to learn on the fly and learn quick. And I had great mentors with assistant coaches and Coach Wright that helped lead me along the narrow, straight path. And ended up, I think, maybe halfway through the year, finally getting through it and get on some level playing level ground.
How much does this role help you when it starts to becoming X and O and kind of breaking down and scouting players, stuff like that? Like, even if that's not maybe the main focus, you're a basketball guy, you're watching film constantly for this job. Even if you're not trying by osmosis, this has to be soaking in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about the Big East, especially at that time, Syracuse, Louisville, Notre Dame. The league was really different. I think most people would have said it was the best conference, especially for basketball. I think that was widely accepted at that time. So you're learning, you're watching a lot of different styles, and you're getting, you're growing immensely because you're, like you said, watching so many games. You watch a lot of basketball, and the more you watch, the more you learn.
What's your takeaway from that 09 season where you guys go to the Final Four?
I mean, honestly, at that time, I was holding on for dear life. Just as a young guy in the business, really not knowing what I was doing and getting mentored by, Jay Wright and, Pat Chambers, who's went on to be a successful head coach, and all these different guys that I was honestly at the time in awe of, So it was an incredible ride for me. I was really lucky to be a part of that as my first year Final Four. I mean, I don't think you could draw it up better.
Do you, and you talk about your, over your head, stuff like that. Are there moments when you're thinking that this might not be for me, or do you see a path even as you're getting acclimated?
I never thought it was too much. I think the competitor in you takes over at a certain point. Now, similar to when you're a freshman in college and you experience college basketball first time. Yeah. You're like, whoa, this is interesting. This is tougher than I thought, but I don't think I ever, thought about it. I was like, oh, I'm over my head. I can't do this. It was just kind of like, all right, this is different. I gotta get here and settle in and make sure I'm operating at an extremely high level.
Once you find your rhythm in the role, what becomes your favorite part?
A video coordinator, you're talking
a
about?
Video coordinator job. Yeah.
Always, I think my favorite thing in college basketball and being a coach at this level is the relationships you're fortunate enough to make with the players, and just being a part of their life and watching them grow and helping them grow. Even now to this day, I think that's the thing I enjoy the most.
Now, after a couple of years at Villanova, you go to Niagara to be an assistant, correct?
Yes, yes. So Coach Wright, he helped me get two interviews. One was at Niagara. The other was at Wagner with Coach Hurley. I went on both interviews. I was lucky enough to get the Niagara job. And, we were there. I was there 3 years with Coach Mihalik, who was an excellent coach, brilliant X and O guy. After the third year, he ended up getting the job at Hofstra University, and I followed him there as well. So it was definitely a great ride with him.
What were the biggest takeaways from him and your time at Niagara?
Niagara was a complete a different situation than, being in, first New York City and then here in Philadelphia. It was a completely different type of town. So I think just socially, it took a little time to adjust to that town. But for me, it was a great time because I was, really didn't have much else to do. I had to really lock in and focus on basketball. Coach Mihalik, he's really unique in the sense that he puts so much time into the game. And we would literally, almost every day have a 3-hour meeting to plan practice. And, I don't know if I loved it at the time, but I know now that was a great time for me and it was great for my development as a coach.
Favorite memory of that portion of your career?
Our last year, we ended up winning the MAC Conference regular season championship. And we had freshmen and sophomores, and Coach Mihalik did a great job coaching that team. I believe he ended up getting the coach of the year that year. And we weren't fortunate enough to get to the NCAA tournament, where we did play in the NIT. So I always looked at that as a great accomplishment.
So you mentioned you follow him to Hofstra, but then the opportunity to come on staff as an assistant at Villanova comes around. What's it like to return to the main line, and how does that feel different than, you know, coming on board as a video coordinator? I'm sure it's a different dynamic.
Well, coming back after spending time at Hofstra was, again, like a dream come true. You know, you're going through that in Niagara. It's a completely different level. And you, of course, you're looking at your guys at Villanova, and they, you know, you want to be a part of that, right? It's like kind of where you came from. It was my starting point and my benchmark of success. So, you know, being able to come back as assistant was a dream come true.
What is it like? What was your main focus as an assistant the early years on your time with Villanova? What was your main, was it recruiting, you know, was it practice? Kind of where was your focus during those, your, when you come on board?
Yeah, so I mean, our coach had an incredible support structure and a great he just had it going, right? He just knew exactly what he wanted. And at that time, I just tried to kind of fit in as a young assistant. I tried to fit in. And, you know, I think one of the areas I thought I could make an impact was in recruiting and just creating really good relationships with our guys. And that's what I focused on in the early years. You know, I think that, you know, it was good for me to get out on the road. I was out on the road a lot, just creating relationships, seeing a bunch of players. And then when I was on campus, a big piece of my job was to just spend as much time with the guys as I possibly could. You know, and again, those are fond, fond memories.
Time for a break on One-on-One. We will continue our conversation with new Villanova University men's basketball coach Kyle Neptune right after this.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And we are back. Our guest this week on One-on-One, new Villanova men's basketball coach, Kyle Neptune. So you guys are having a ton of success at Villanova, but then the 15-16 season, the first national championship, the shot. At what point during that season do you start to think, man, we've got something really special and we are going to be a very difficult out?
I don't think we ever even thought about it until it was over. You go through that season and you're, you know, focused like almost singly, all right, next game, next game, next game. And I really don't think we, realized the magnitude of it until the season was over. Obviously Chris hits that shot in the national championship. Honestly, I don't know if we figured it out until days or months after with the celebration, how big of a deal it was. I think that's the first time when we were like, okay, now we're going to go to the White House. We had a parade and like all those things. It's like, oh, okay, this is a big deal.
Do you remember? I mean, I shouldn't say, do you remember? What is going through your mind when Chris Jenkins raises up there? Are you a coach at that point? Are you a fan? Are you like, where are you in your mindset at that moment?
When I remember very vividly as the play was developing, seeing that Chris was open. And as soon as Arch threw it back to him, I just started walking on the court just instinctively because I knew it was going to go in. I knew he was going to shoot it because he's never passed up a shot he could get off, let alone an open shot. But I knew he was going to shoot it, and I knew it was going in. I just knew it. Like as soon as he threw it back, and the seas kind of parted, and you saw that he was going to be open, I knew it was going in.
So you talked about the celebration. What was your favorite part of winning a national championship? You said the White House, the parade, the locker room. After, like, if you had to look back for the first one, what was your favorite part?
I think, honestly, it's the time you spend with those guys and through that season, the relationships. And like, I mean, even though you win a championship, you go through highs and lows. Going through those highs and lows and watching those guys mature and, achieving something that's, almost a once in a lifetime experience together. The time in the locker room, the time on the buses, those things are the memories that you have from the season are more impactful than anything.
So then you're on staff 2 years later, you guys win a second national championship in 2018. It's amazing. 2018, I don't think that run gets enough credit because that was in this day and age to have a team. I don't think you guys lost a game. You guys won a game by fewer than double digits during the NCAA tournament, which is unheard of. How did that run? Did that run feel any different than 2016 to you?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it did. I think we saw pretty early just in practice, at least I did. Like, it was like insane, like competitiveness and the drive. And you had a couple guys who had achieved success, a lot of success over the first couple of years. Of course, a lot of them experienced a national championship. But even before, and you take out the national championship, at that time, we were winning like 29, 30, 30 games almost every year. So you had guys in the program who had done a lot of winning and were extremely successful. And coming into that year, watching them compete early, it was pretty impressive and pretty, I think we knew like this team was going to be pretty good.
After being... You talk about recruiting, and after winning two national championships, can you sense a difference when you're out on the road? I mean, just in the calls you're getting, the places you're going, how people are responding to Villanova's in the house. Like, it has, I would imagine, recruiting in 2015 and recruiting after the 2018 season, is it almost different worlds?
I think... Definitely, I definitely think that, obviously to say that the national championships didn't put Coach and this program in a different light, I have to say that I think would be a lie. But, I think we still recruit the same type of player, and that didn't really change as much. Definitely got a couple more calls, though, for sure.
At what point during your run on as an assistant at Villanova, is there a point where you start to think internally, I feel like I'm ready to have my own program? Because I think everybody, once again, like being a younger, everybody wants to do it, but I feel like I'm ready. Do you remember having that kind of internal conversation with yourself?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, for so long, I didn't ever even think about it. You know, even through those championships, I really never gave it any thought. You know, I was just so focused and locked in on trying to help Villanova be the best Villanova it could be. But I think, like, you know, after that COVID year, where we were pretty much sitting around in our houses for, you know, 7 months, I think that's the first time I got kind of gave it some thought at what it would be like. And I felt like I was ready.
So how does the opportunity at Fordham, is that something that you hear there's an opening? You think this is a good opportunity? Is there somebody that says, hey, I think this would be a good fit for you? Kind of how does that come about?
Yeah, I mean, you hear that these obviously the job opened, and I think it was known that it was going to open for that entire year. So it's definitely something I had my eye on, just being from New York City, having an opportunity to coach in the A-10 at a very similar institution as Villanova in terms of just academically and the kind of the look and feel of campus. So it definitely was something that I thought about and I looked at. You know, kind of, I had an agent at the time. I think he just kind of, you know, talked to them on my behalf, and I was lucky enough to get an interview.
What is the first thing you learned as a head coach, or I shouldn't say learned, but the first thing that you never thought you'd have to deal with that you had to deal with as a head coach? Was there kind of a thing that you like, oh, I didn't realize this was going to be on my plate? And I'm sure you were well prepared, but there's types of, I'm sure there are things you don't know until you know.
Yeah, I think the one thing that the one takeaway as a head coach is this, the gravity of every single decision you have to make daily. And that's, I mean, it's probably not one thing, it's probably everything, right? It's just like you're making every single decision every day. And like as an assistant, I think you work just as hard as assistant, but the job description just lends itself to just being a little more, you know, singly driven on one or two, three things. As a head coach, you're dealing with a much more. I'll just say it that way. So, you know, that I think it's just the impact of every single decision.
You talked at the outset about how many you had to recruit a lot of players for Fordham. You had to bring a lot of coaches in. You know, what were you looking for in putting a team together and putting your first staff together?
Well, I'll start with a staff. You know, we honestly, I got really lucky because, you know, obviously leaving Villanova, I felt like when I left here, I thought we had the best culture in college basketball. And that was something I was trying to recreate at Fordham. We were lucky to get, you know, a couple of Villanova guys to come work with us at Fordham, Henry Lowe, Rob DePersia, Keith Ergo. Those guys were, you know, had all, you know, Henry Lowe played at Villanova and coached, Rob DePersia coached, and Keith Ergo coached at Villanova. So they kind of knew what we were trying to build. And that was incredibly good for us, especially early, because you didn't have to teach the staff what you were trying to accomplish. They kind of already had a great feel for it. And then we got a couple Pitt guys, and Ronald Ramon and Trey Woodall, who also played in the old Big East and kind of, you know, played against Villanova and knew and had like kind of similar ideas about what, you know, what like it was very similar, the thought process on how you were going to win games. So we got incredibly lucky with having a big time staff. I feel like, you know, without them, we're not even close, and their cohesion and buy-in, without them, definitely don't have the type of year that we had.
What was it like to win your first game as a head coach at Fordham? Was it exhilarating? Was it relief? Was it, okay, great, what's next?
I think it was kind of okay, great, what's next? Like when you, I think that, again, the gravity of every single decision, you're just making so many decisions all the time. You know, I don't think you have time to like sit around and think about, okay, how good this is. It's like, okay, now we have to do an interview. Okay, let's prep for the next game. And that's kind of always been my thought process on life, period. Taking each situation for what it is and then moving on.
What is the biggest thing you learned from Jay Wright being on his staff?
I don't think, and I, you know, I've answered this question a bunch over the last year, especially on what, you know, I learned from. And what I realized early on is that I would say something different every interview. I was like, all right, he's unbelievable. X and O's, true. All right, he's a great person to be around. True. He's one of the best guys at running a program. True. And what I realized is I learned so much from him. And that's the takeaway, is that he is so well-rounded and so and good at so many things. You got a chance to see so much at a high level. And I think that's the biggest takeaway.
When you're in a situation like this, you're taking over a top-level program, and obviously you want to stick with what's working, but you also, it's important you put your stamp on things. And what is the balancing act there between, you know, keeping what's working, but also doing things that, you know, the way you want them done?
I don't know if I look at it like that. I think right now, my job is to make sure that I'm staying true to what Villanova has become here under Coach Wright. And, I look at it as if I, put everything into this and, stay true to our core values and the tradition that coaches build here, then it's a success. Like, and that's what I'm going to try to do, just work as hard as possible and leave all the chips on the table.
When word broke that you were taking over the program, ballpark, how many text/phone calls did you think you get in 24 hours?
I don't know, because it stayed at 400 for like the first 3 days. And I was responding like as much as I could. So I don't know exactly how many, but it was a lot, a good amount.
Was it overwhelming? I mean, it's obviously a thrilling time, but it's a lot.
It's crazy because, I just went through the same thing last year. Right. So like you go through, it was almost like it was kind of surreal, because it was like I was doing the same thing at this time last year. This time I was way better at getting back to people because I learned that from last time.
What is your favorite part of what you do?
Getting to be around high achieving young men and getting to help them along their path. It's for me, it's really rewarding. To see, especially the guys we have here at Villanova, they're really special people, and getting to see them and help push them along the way. But just seeing how high achieving they are and how special they are has been very rewarding.
Do you prefer games or practice from a coaching standpoint? Because I've asked this question before, and I'm always surprised. It's kind of a everyone would just assume, oh, it's got to be the games. But there are guys that like practice. Do you prefer games, or do you like practice where you can work with the kids and get them better?
I think, for me, I won't speak on most coaches, but I would think that most coaches would love the practice part of it, because that's, whatever you do in the game is going to be built in practice, right? For me, for sure, being in practice and pushing the guys as hard as possible and creating a team and, that process is pretty cool to be a part of.
If I went back in time and talked to Kyle Neptune, senior at Lehigh University, and told him what's in front of him, would he believe it?
I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think I wasn't honestly, even as a senior in college, I wasn't even thinking about being a coach. In my demented mind, I think I still thought I had a chance to be a NBA player. So I wasn't thinking about being a coach at all.
And opening night for you as Villanova head coach will be here before you know it. What do you think your emotions will be that first time you're on the sideline there?
You know what? I have no idea. I'm still pinching myself right now and trying to get through day by day. And when that time comes, I'm sure I'll have a treasure trove of emotions. But I'm focused on the now.
Kyle Neptune, this was so much fun. Thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank new Villanova men's basketball coach Kyle Neptune for being our guest. Now, if you like the show and you want to help us out, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at @1on1pod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.